We are now joined for a very special interview with recent Estonia Open and Masters winner, John Scott. How are you, John?
I'm very good, yeah. How are you, Andrew?
I'm not too bad, mate. In terms of questions, I think there's only one real place to start, and that's your astonishing weekend in Tallinn. It's no mean feat to do a double, and you produced some really good stuff over the weekend. How did you feel the weekend went?
Can't do a lot wrong when you go through the weekend unbeaten. So, yeah, obviously I'm very happy. First win for me, ranking title-wise. So, again, great to get something down in history. So my name's on a trophy, can be never taken away. I mean, it's pretty much a dream.
How was the weekend? Because as far as I know, that was the first time you'd been to Estonia. How did you feel the competitions were ran?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't been before. I knew people who had been before, and they all spoke highly of it. So, plus, I try and do as many of the events as I can. It was very well run. Obviously, it's a small federation, so they don't get a lot of exposure. Certainly no complaints from the way the competition was run at all. They were very friendly, very helpful, and I'd recommend it to anyone.
You certainly seem to produce some good stuff. You beat Sam Head in both competitions. He's played at Lakeside before. You beat Brianne Locken. And you averaged almost 90 in the Estonian Masters final. So it's going to sound a bit of a daft question, but how do you feel about your game right now?
I know what I can do. It's just a case of doing it, and I think that's what every dart player knows. I mean, my philosophy has always been you try and make your bad game better, because everyone's best game is a nine dart lick. There's no physical reason why any person who picks up a dart can't throw a 180 and a 141. So it's about being consistent, and I'm certainly getting more consistent. In Germany the week before, I played very well across both days. I had two good days in Romania, two good days in Greece, a couple of good days in Torremolinos. So these double-header weekends, it's just about being consistent and trying to get as far as you can. But no way did I dream I was going to come away with both trophies.
Well, you certainly, as you were saying there, you've really shown a real uptick in form since sort of the World Masters last year, really, because you got to the final at the Latvia Open towards the end of 2018. And this year you've got to a couple of semi-finals, and obviously the two titles this weekend and a quarter-final in Germany. Do you feel you're playing as good as you have in a long time?
I feel more confident. I have patches before where I can, you think you're playing really well, and one result goes against you, and confidence is a very easy thing to make or break. I think I've been playing pretty consistent for the last 2 or 3 years now, but it's that little thing of thinking you can do something and doing it, which does make a difference. And I think even that run in Germany, in such a big event, it helped me this weekend to know that I can play for 10 hours of darts and be consistent for a whole day. And that does make a big difference.
Well, that consistency has certainly come through, and you've picked up some good points, and you're now in the top 40 of the men's rankings. You're making good progress to the goal of the World Championships.
Yeah, I mean, on the seasonal, I'm now up into the top 16, and that's obviously there's still a long way to go, because everyone has to pick up. There's a lot of big competitions where people can jump up by having good results in these Category A and A plus competitions. So I've done the travelling and the miles to put points on the board, and hopefully that can continue. And rather than having to chase, I'm in a position where I just need to consolidate and stay there. I think it's up in the top 40, but I think there's still 5 or 6 players above me in that who have defected to the PDC or aren't doing the tour this year. So there's still a bit of climbing to do, as you know, to be in that top 24 places, or however many it will be, depending on the winner of the World Masters and all the other connotations. But yeah, I'm very happy with where I am, but I know there is still a long way to go.
You've played, as you were saying, a lot of the sort of category C, D double headers. Was the specific motivation there to chalk up some points?
Well, I travel. My girlfriend travels to a lot of the competitions as well, so that's it's motivation. We spend time together, obviously, at darts, so it might not see a lot of each other if we're both winning, but so it's, I can see different places and spend time with her away, so that's nice. I've got a good person behind me who's happy to pay for me to go to these places.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a little bit of it inside of me thinking, go to a few of the lesser ones, you might have a chance of winning. Balancing out the difference between winning a Cat C or a D, or making a quarterfinal or a last 16 in a Cat A plus. You know, the points are the same, but you might get that chance to put your name on a trophy. And fortunately, I was lucky enough to do that this weekend.
Well, you certainly did. And you've been doing the BDO Tour since roughly 2017 now. And you kind of came onto that after a little bit of a break from the game. There was a bit of a break in sort of 2016 for you. So what was the motivation or the reason for that?
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't break from the game. I was still playing County Darts, Super League Darts, all the rest of it. I just, to be honest, I did the PDC Tour, which at the time, it was unexpected to me to get a tour card. Not that I didn't go there to try and win one, but it was a very long 2 years doing that. I then did the Challenge Tour for a couple of years after losing the card. And I just felt I was going to the same two or three venues all the time, Wigan and Barnsley, and I just felt that I was not necessarily bored with it, but I wasn't enjoying it as much. That M6 is a nightmare at times, so that's not good for us. But yeah, so I mean, I actually won our Super League Player of the Year that year, finishing top of the averages, and qualified for the UK Open through Riley's. And my roommate, Alex Roy, we both qualified together that year. And the money he won, he said, I'm going to do the Challenge Tour now, because you could just pay to buy into it.
Yeah.
And neither of us had done the Q School that year. And he said, oh, we'll do that together. And I said, no. I said at the beginning of the year, I'm having a year off from travelling just to kind of get the hunger back again, I guess. From especially when you play on the PDC Tour and get beat week in, week out, it can knock you back. Yeah. And you need to find the desire to want to do these things again.
I think the motivation and the mental side of the game is something that isn't often addressed. And You talk about your time in the PDC. Since you kind of were there, 2012, 2013, the money has gone up tremendously. Is that something you want to go back to? Do you feel you've got unfinished business there?
Never say never. I know, having done it, how hard it was even then. And the Q School is hard, but that's the easy part. And anyone who's done the tour will tell you the same. Q School's a nightmare. It's four of the toughest days you'll play. Everyone there is fighting for those cards. And then you step on the tour, and then you think, oh, Q School's easy. And I've always been a stat man and analysed the game a bit too much at times, admittedly, but unless you're playing a certain level, it's not. It's one thing to get a card, but you need to be able to keep it to really concentrate on that and to have any sort of aspirations of doing well. But yeah, the money's gone up a huge amount. I remember the first ever European Tour event in 2012 in Austria, which I qualified for, was £200 to the first round losers. And it was a £100 entry, and the flight cost me £300 just to get there. So when I lost 6-5 to Dennis Ovens, it was a bit annoying because I thought, well, few quid down the drain. But yeah, I mean, the money's great. It's, you know, if you're good enough, you'll earn very good money now. And yeah, it is a motivation. But at the moment, I've got to be consistently averaging 85 minimum all the time, because even that's not good enough. And but you know, occasionally you can go away with it. But that's for now, no. Okay. But you never know.
Well, you do seem to be finding the hunger and the motivation on the BDO tour, and you've been on it a couple of years now. How do you think the tour has changed since you started, and what state do you feel the tour is in at the moment?
I think the actual competitions themselves are in a good state. I think that most of them are run very well. The setups in a lot of these places, you wouldn't expect them to be better setups than, say, a British event. But I find some of the European events are actually organised and set up better. They really try hard to put on a good show for everyone. So yeah, in that respect, I think the tour is in a good shape. I mean, I know Des has done a lot of work to try and improve things in the background, and he's getting there slowly, but it's a massive task that he took on when he became chairman, so it's not going to happen overnight. But yeah, the things are moving in the right direction, I think. And as I say, these overseas tournaments, a lot of them are already very good. They're very sort of very proud of themselves and want to be the one tournament that everyone wants to go to by word of mouth.
I think that is quite important, especially for tournaments sort of like Estonia, for British players travelling. Certainly knowing what you're letting yourself in for is often quite important. Talking of the BDO and the changes they've made, you're someone who's done some social media work before. You've done some stuff on Tungsten Tales with Chris Mason. Is there more from a social media point of view that you think the BDO should be doing or could be doing?
I think that side of things in the BDO has improved massively in the last 6 months. I think they were just before the World Masters, somebody pointed out on Twitter that the BDO hadn't sent put out a single tweet for 4 months or something. And now I know Laura Turner does a lot of work with the social media side, and every event is covered, and she does a lot of work behind the scenes getting in touch with these federations from all over the world to say, send me a results, send me a picture of the winner that I can use, because you can't just go on Google and get a picture. Get these to me now so I can put them out there, get the word out there. And I think, you know, that is certainly one side that they've done a very good job in stepping up since the takeover.
It certainly has been. I think it's been good for fans to see that there are reports of the weekend's action, and information does seem to be coming out a lot quicker. Kind of going back to a focus on you played a lot of Super League in Middlesex and county stuff. How was it you first got into darts?
Well, it was actually my mum started a darts team with my nan and my sister when I was about 15 years old. And I used to just start having a throw at our local cricket club and playing with them when they were Sunday lunchtime having a game of darts. And so it went from there. I really enjoyed it. Used to spend quite a few evenings just at the club throwing on the board. A guy came up to me and said, "Oh, you play darts, you're looking to play, we have the team here on a Tuesday night, come and play. As long as you can chalk, you can play." And yeah, so it just went from there. I met people through that local league who played Super League and played county, got me into the youth team, and then Super League and then county, and then you know, met a few players who used to do the tour, went to the odd competition now and then, and just sort of grew into it. I think I just love the game. I love reading about the game. I love looking at all the results after a county weekend, even if I'm not playing, just every team. Oh, how did this person do? How did this person do? Oh, look at that average. And yeah, it's a bit of a OCD love for the game, I guess, that sort of kept me interested in it all these years since.
I know that there are actually a surprising number of players who've had a profound female influence on them, which is not something you perhaps would expect. Another aspect of the game that comes with development is a nickname. Where did your nickname of Nasher come from?
Well, it was an interesting story, but it was now it's a bit of a ridiculous story. It was actually given to me by a very good friend of mine called Gary Long, who decided that when I was younger, when I was playing for his team, that my hair resembled the hair of the dog in the Beano. And so he just started calling me Nasher, and that sort of stuck. And then, obviously, now I have no hair. It decides not to grow up there anymore, so it's a bit of a strange reason to tell people that's your nickname, but he was a very good friend of mine who unfortunately passed away about 5 or 6 years ago. So the nickname won't change, unfortunately, even if the hair's decided to make it look like a bit of a silly reason behind it.
Well, no, it's certainly different. It's a good, a nice backstory to it. I saw on your Twitter earlier today that you were commenting that how supportive L-Style Europe have been to you. Can you just talk a little bit about what backing they've given you and how much they've helped you with your game?
Well, it's strange because I started using the L-Flight when they were actually marketed by Target, when L-Style were purely an Asian-based company that didn't actually market over in the UK or Europe. And it was through a friend of mine who knew someone who worked at Target and said, oh, try these out. And again, being a little bit OCD, I love the fact that they stay straight, they don't move, they're the same size, they don't bend. The amount of time I would spend sort of in between throws trying to square my flights up and things like that, it was just, for me, it was just perfect. It's one thing I don't have to worry about. I used them for a number of years and came across a guy called Scott McKenzie, who played in the World Championships a few times. And he put me onto them, and I wrote them a nice email, explained to them I'd been playing with their stuff for a few years, and they kindly offered to help me. They send me what I need, equipment-wise. As I say, I love the flights. I've never stopped using them since the first time I had a set. And, it's like a big family, though, because they have, I'm sure most brands will, but they have their own group of all the players, and they post the results. And even if you think you haven't done well, they sort of make a big thing. Oh, he did really well this weekend, went there and putting in the travelling, results didn't go his way. And everyone sort of is on their Facebook page. Well done, unlucky. And so it makes you feel part of something as well. Mm. And they're such friendly people in charge. And I've met them all a number of times now. Funnily enough, we got, when you said about Tongues and Tails, we actually got an interview with Sago Asada at Lakeside when no one else could, because the guy who was there with him from L-Style knew me, and we got him to translate. And funnily, 4 years later, he translated at the World Championship this year for Mikuru.
Yes.
On screen. But he hated it before. He said, I'll translate, but don't put me on the camera. I don't want to be seen. So we that connection actually got us a couple of exclusive interviews on Tongues and Tails. And now he's taking all the credit being a translator professionally on on Eurosport, which, you know, I'd take the credit in getting him started in that role.
Well, it's certainly, I think, what you say about kind of companies and manufacturers being supportive of their players, I think it's a side of the game that often doesn't get talked about, because darts can be a very lonely sport, and it's nice